Hello to all the Redeemer folks. I know most of you have been praying for Dani Merk, her family, and of course the Moderts, and I thank you for that, and I'm sure they thank you as well. I also suspect that most of you know her cancer has spread to her lungs, brain, and liver, and the prognosis is dire. To that end, the elders are calling for days of fasting and prayer for Dani. The first one is this coming Tuesday, which is July 16th, and then the second one will be the Tuesday afterward, which is July 23rd. Now, to that end, I want to make a few comments about fasting. First, it should be said that there are some 70 references in the Bible to fasting. And this ought to remind us that throughout biblical history, it was an important spiritual discipline that God's people availed themselves to. When Jesus taught about fasting, he did so in a way that simply assumed his disciples would fast, Matthew 6. So fasting really is an important, albeit often overlooked, act of piety in the life of a believer, right? So fasting is something we should be doing. Second, we find in Scripture there are a variety of types of fasts. There are national fasts, there are congregational fasts, and there are individual fasts. Now, our fast is presented to our congregation, but it's going to be exercised by individuals. So we won't have a corporate meeting to work out the details. Again, that's the purpose of this brief message. Third, fasting is for a spiritual purpose. And the purpose isn't simply so you experience hunger. To that end, let me mention several biblical reasons for which a fast might be called. If a person or group of people fall into grievous sin or some other act of corporate wickedness, if those people are brought to repentance and they're committed to that repentance, that would be a right reason to fast, to demonstrate that they have real sorrow over their sin. You see an example of that in Jonah 3, when Nineveh repented and fasted. Another reason to fast is when God's judgment is about to fall on a people. Fasting can be a way to seek his mercy, to turn his wrath aside. You see an example of this under the reign of Jehoshaphat that's recorded for us in 2 Chronicles 20. Still another reason to fast is to seek God's grace of deliverance for especially difficult circumstances where the situation otherwise seems hopeless. David engaged in this kind of fast when he was seeking the Lord's grace to spare his son in 2 Samuel 12. Truth be told, there are quite a lot of biblical reasons to call and practice a fast. But central to fasting is drawing near to God. You might think of it this way. God promises our daily bread, and he's surely faithful in providing it. But when we set aside that daily bread for a period of time, it ultimately reminds us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So fasting is a way of saying, I am utterly dependent on God, not just his provisions, but I'm dependent on him. And you see, in that way, we begin to see the relationship between fasting and praying. Fasting strengthens our prayers. Fasting has a way of intensifying our crying out to God. That's why Calvin said, whenever men are to pray to God concerning any great matter, it would be expedient to appoint fasting along with prayer. When we pray, we're acknowledging our dependence on God, but when we fast, it's a way of focusing like a laser beam on the Lord that at this time, in this situation, it's not pizza, it's not steak, it's not a Happy Meal, it's not breakfast, lunch, or dinner that's going to satisfy me. I need God's mercy. As Donald Whitney put it, there's something about fasting that sharpens the edge of our intercessions and deepens the passion of our supplications. Another author put it this way: fasting is calculated to bring a note of urgency into our praying and to give force to our pleading in the court of heaven. The man who prays with fasting is giving heaven notice that he's truly in earnest. Not only so, but he's expressing his earnestness in a divinely appointed way. He's using a means that God has chosen to make his voice to be heard on high. Now, here's what all this means for us. If you choose to fast on one or both of those days, when you experience hunger pains, don't simply acknowledge your hunger. Acknowledge in that moment our need for God's mercy for Dani and her family. Use those moments of physical yearning to yearn for and cry out for God's deliverance for this dear sister. Now, I want us to understand that fasting, like prayer, is a means of grace, right? But it's a means. The grace comes from God. This isn't like putting a dollar in a vending machine and knowing you're going to get your snack. Grace isn't something we demand. It's not something we can manipulate. It has to come from His power and His kind, fatherly hand. But prayer and fasting are the means through which God ordinarily channels that grace to us. So, dear ones, let me urge you, on July 16th and or July 23rd, let's join together in prayer and fasting to seek God's mercy for the Merks and the Moderates. And let's pray and fast with believing hearts. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Lord's blessing. Bye-bye.